The scripture passage is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans in chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. It is in the book of Genesis that we come across the figure of Abraham and learn about the important place he came to have in the religious faith of the people of God. After the initial stories of creation and the flood, and the early covenants of God with Adam and Eve first and then with Noah, the focus moves to Abram, whose name is then changed by God to Abraham, meaning ancestor of a multitude. Abraham enters into covenant with God, and he is given the promise that he and his descendants will become a blessing for all of humanity. Faithfulness on the part of Abraham, his family and his descendants, forms an important leitmotif for a good deal of the scriptures and the spirituality of Judaism. Then we find Abraham in early Christian consciousness also, and most especially the question of his faith, his faithfulness, his willingness to do what the Lord asked of him, even if it were to cost him dearly. The early Christian letter to the Hebrews says that Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. In doing so, he considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Perhaps we ought to remember that Abraham is described also as a friend of God. Thus there is a personal relationship involved in this covenant, and more importantly in the faith that Abraham is most noted for. The biblical understanding of faith locates it in the covenant between, as I heard it expressed recently, between the God of Israel and the Israel of God. This covenant faith involves a conversation between the faithful people and God. There is a friendship with God involved in entering into and being loyal to such a covenant. Paul, emerging from the roots of his Jewish faith in the God of Israel and seeing the expectation of salvation through a Messiah as having been fulfilled in Jesus, Paul sees this revered figure, Abraham, as the ancestor of all who have faith. Abraham's faith in God was reckoned as righteousness, that sense of trust in and obedience to what was right and good. Herein would lie the lasting welfare of all who believe. We are not speaking of blind faith, but rather faith in God whom Abraham got to know and revere, in God who spoke with him, as it were, in God whom Abraham could also question. Abraham trusted God, and he could also question, as you would a friend whom you know and can deal with and interrogate. So in Abraham there is this radical trust in God, and that sense of trust sees also what we might call chutzpah, that boldness to question God. Nor was Abraham the last to do so. Look at the lives and questions raised by Jacob, by Job, and later by Jesus. What about us? Well, that engaged sense of questioning God, that keenness to know and understand more of the implications of the new and eternal covenant in the blood of Jesus, herein grows our faith and our sense of calm trust in a God who is loving and nourishing. In faithfully following Jesus, our Saviour, our hearts grow warmer in love, and our minds emerge with a clearer sense of the wisdom behind our saying yes. What do I mean by our saying yes? I mean getting to our feet when we hear Jesus say, "Come, follow me."